We head to the hotline right now as we talk about the big screen and beyond with our Hollywood insider, Al Harris. Al, how are you, my friend?
Fantastic. Dude, Puerto Rico, that's an interesting matchup for the Indians, huh?
Yeah, neutral site game, and I think Major League Baseball wants to do this on a consistent basis. I know they did it last year, but I forget the two teams that were involved last year. But I know Major League Baseball wants to do this moving forward to get some more exposure, get some more games down there, and I think it's obviously beneficial for all parties involved. And let's begin with some box office banter, my friend. Rampage was number one this weekend, but A Quiet Place still doing pretty well. I mean, I don't know why, but this film has been very successful its first couple weeks. Led the way at the box office last week and only took about a 30% hit from a week ago. What's made this so successful?
It's a smart horror film. It's coming in a time of the year where, you know, there's not a lot of good options out as far as mainstream movies go. I mean, as we saw, Rampage won the weekend basically on default. Quiet Place is still doing well. From what I've heard, I have not seen it yet because I'm not the biggest horror fan. But from what I've heard, it's a smart, well-made horror film. And it's going to get people in the seats. And people are going to, you know, it's also word of mouth. So people hear about it. They want to go see it. I'm not surprised it's doing consistent. I think we've had this conversation a couple times in the past year of, like, these horror films, whether it be It, or I'm drawing a blank, but, you know, any of the bigger ones. It just seems like they're doing well so far, and it's, you know, they're slow burners. A lot of them don't have, like, great casts. Quiet Place is the difference, right? They have Emily Blunt. But, you know, you have, like, these interesting concepts. You bring in okay actors or not as well-known actors, and people get scared. People go to see horror films not because of the actors. They go to get scared. And if they hear that one's good, they're more interested in seeing it. And as we've seen, you know, some of them take a little bit longer. But Quiet Place did well out of the gates. And it's going to keep having staying power because it's one of those where it's not going to, like, destroy the box office on a given weekend. But it's going to keep doing well. And I wouldn't be surprised to see it in the top three next week as well.
You used the phrase smart horror movie when you talked about Quiet Place. It seems like we're getting a lot more of those in the sense that it is the only, like, big horror movie that I feel was like an actual horror movie. The other one everyone talks about is Get Out, which to me is more of a kind of psychedelic, or maybe that's not the word I'm looking for, a psychological thriller. And then, of course, A Quiet Place, I realize it's monsters or whatever supposed to be chasing them, but it's a different concept. I mean, people aren't used to that. Maybe this is kind of where Hollywood's getting their new kind of original thing. Everything else seems to be remakes going around. Do you believe that to be somewhat true?
Yeah, I think it is. I think a lot of people are, you know, they can do a lot more with it because they're not as beholden to the studio system. As long as they're scaring people, that's what they want. But you've seen a lot of these, like, whether it's A Quiet Place. And the reason it's smart is because it's not all about the scares, right? It's not about, like, these crazy monsters or that. It's about being quiet and making a sense of place and doing something different with the medium, which we saw Get Out do, which a movie called It Follows did that a couple years ago, and kind of that, and I'm drawing a blank on the other one that came out around the same time, that kind of started this, these small, interesting concept horror movies that aren't just like, oh, let's just throw ghosts in, let's just have serial killers. I think It Follows was that one about, like, anytime someone lost their virginity, they would get murdered. And it had this parable to it. And you can do a lot with horror movies in that way. Make them smarter, make them more interesting, and change the way they're seen. And I think it's easier. I know when I came out here, that was like, I wanted to originally get into, like, writing, producing. That was the one thing everyone said. Horror films are the easiest to do because you don't need a lot of money. You don't need a big cast. You just need to do, right? And you're seeing that happen, like, but now people are getting a bigger leash to do more interesting things. And someone like John Krasinski, whose first two directorial debuts were panned and didn't do well, finds another home doing a horror film. So I think, and I'm not saying that there aren't crappy ones. We saw Winchester that just came out, no one saw, with Jason Clarke and Helen Mirren. And you're still going to get those that are just not good. Mm-hmm. But I think because the studios are allowing people to be more creative with this medium, it's doing a lot more stuff. And if you see the difference along with something like Rampage, which is the same thing that they've been doing for years, not showing any kind of ambition or, you know, originality.
Yeah, it was a video game.
It's a video game. And you're seeing that with, like, blockbusters and that. Horror seems like the only, besides indie films and stuff you're seeing, like, in the art house theaters, seem like the only films coming out on the big screen that they're allowing to be original. And so, yeah, I definitely don't see that stopping anytime soon.
Well, sticking with that, Al, you know, with these horror movies having all the success that they've had in recent years, some of those big-budget films like Rampage, who led the way at the box office this weekend, they now face a much, much more complex marketplace because of that. What kinds of challenges does that pose for those kinds of movies, those big-budget films like Rampage?
Well, I mean, it's been the same every year, right? These movies come out, you kind of know they're going to suck, like Mummy, the Tom Cruise Mummy movie, or all these. You see you hear, those are movies you hear conceptually, and you think, oh, that's going to be bad. And then you see the first trailer, and you're like, oh, yeah, it's going to be bad. And then the first reviews come out, and shockingly, it's bad. We're always going to have movies like that, and people are always going to see them, which blows my mind. And as long as people keep seeing them, they will keep being made, and they will be released in April, in March, when there is not the big summer blockbusters out yet, not the big Academy Award pieces that we get in the fall. It's going to be, you know, the doldrums. Hopefully get a few people because there's nothing else to see that want to go to the movie, and they'll go see something like Rampage. And until movies like Rampage, I'm just going to harp on The Rock right now, but Rampage, the other one coming up, it is Skyscraper, San Andreas, any of those movies that, like, Jumanji was at least creative and had some fun with it. None of these other ones have any fun with the medium. And we're going to keep getting them made. And there's certain actors who've made a living off that. So that's not going to change. But hopefully they stay, you know, in these months and we can just ignore them. Even though we're not doing that right now, we're talking about it because it's number one in the box office. But that's the way it's going to be. I'm not going to see them. I'll come on your show and talk about them, but I'm not interested in them.
Al Harris is our Hollywood insider, and he joins us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Changing subjects here, my friend. We must address the passing of Harry Anderson. And I know a lot of Hollywood stars have come out and offered their condolences. And, boy, it's impressive when you look back at all of these to see just what kind of an impact he's had on so many. But as far as you know and the people you've spoken to, what kind of impact did he have on the entire Hollywood scene?
Well, he was huge, man. Maybe not as big, like, in a mainstream sense, but, you know, he was one of the guys who could bring in aspects of who he was, you know? He was a magician. He started on Cheers as this con artist who would do magic tricks, and that led into Night Court, which was a seminal sitcom of the 80s, where you happen to get your nickname from.
Yes, correct.
So, it's one of those where it was huge. He was able to do his thing. He never got, like, big time, but Night Court was huge when it was on the air. And that was Harry Anderson. And I like to, not just Harry Anderson, but usually, you know, they say the law of threes, right? This has been a pretty more devastating one than usual. It's not only Harry Anderson passed away, but Arlie Ermey from Full Metal Jacket. And one of my favorite directors of all time, Milos Forman, who directed Amadeus, Man on the Moon, The People vs. Larry Flynn. He also passed away this weekend. So this was a tough one. And Harry Anderson's definitely up one of the best, I would say, sitcom actors of the 80s, having multiple Emmy nominations. Night Court was just a fun show that he was able to lead with his charisma. And, yeah, he was one of the few people to incorporate magic into the comedy routine in a mainstream level in that era. So, yeah, it's a huge loss. He hasn't done much lately, but still, you never forget. Like, none of these three have done much lately, but they're still impactful in one way or the other, whether it's Full Metal Jacket, whether it's Night Court and Cheers, whether it's, you know, The People vs. Larry Flint and Man on the Moon, which is one of my favorite movies. So even if it's one thing or two things or a bunch of things, all these people were impactful in one way, and it's a tough weekend of losses for sure.
I think as we continue to look at some of these previews and these promos and these commercials for these shows that are coming up, we're all the more intrigued to learn more about them and find out what goes beyond some of the stories that we already know. Paramount Network, I think, has done a wonderful job of capturing all of that. They've had some very, very good series, and they have another one that I'm intrigued by called It Was Him, based on the murders of Ed Edwards. What are you hearing about this? Because the previews look sensational.
Yeah, I'm hearing it's pretty interesting. It's kind of going along the same lines as the one from Netflix, which I'm drawing a blank on, but or The Jinx, you know. People love their true crime documentaries, and this one's about a serial killer who his son and a detective help, like, you know, trying to tie him to other murders, and it sounds very interesting. I'm curious to see it. Some of the reviews I've read have been, you know, mediocre, but I'm still intrigued by it, and you're right. Paramount Network's been doing really well. They had the Waco show coming out earlier this year. They got a few more shows coming out. They're really trying to rebrand themselves from the Spike TV era and make it a little more prestige-y, which I think's a good thing. So I'm excited for that, and I'm excited to see this one. We'll see how it goes. There is, you know, we've talked about this when the serial killer show from Netflix, which I'm also drawing a blank on, came out, that this is starting to be oversaturated, these real-life, you know, serial killer dramas. But there's always room for another one, and we'll see how this one goes.
Were you thinking of Mindhunters? Is that the one you were thinking of?
That's the one I'm okay. thinking of. Thank you.
And I saw the previews, thought it was very interesting how they speak to his kids and they believe that he's actually the Zodiac Killer. I mean, it's wild, wild stuff.
Yeah.
But again, it was just enough to get me hooked and at least to get me to watch an episode or so. Going to the total opposite end of the spectrum, my friend, the greatest sitcom on television right now, as far as I'm concerned, it's not even close. It's The Goldbergs. I love The Goldbergs. I think it's the best show on television. But I've got to ask you about this spinoff or this offshoot. And apparently it's The Goldbergs 1990-something. Is this good for the series, or do you think this is just a way of extending the series? Because it seems like after the sixth season next year, which it's already been renewed for, they're not quite sure what to do with it. What direction do you think this is going?
Well, first, I want to say you're dead wrong. I actually started to watch The Goldbergs recently, been binge-watching, and I've thoroughly enjoyed it. But no way in heck is it better than Good Place or even this new one, Barry, which I'm in love with, the new Bill Hader one. Silicon Valley, I can keep going on and on. It is not a top-tier sitcom, but it is very entertaining, and I enjoy it. And I'm actually very excited for this 1990s one because, as you said, I don't think it's them trying to like keep the brand going as much as it is another story to tell. I mean, they're getting rid of a lot of the same characters, and there was only so much you can do with, like, you know, doing the 80s. But two of my favorite characters of the Goldbergs are Tim Meadows' guidance counselor and Brian Callen's gym teacher. I think I've been a big fan of Brian Callen's for a while. He always has very small parts and things. And I thought he was fantastic and I wanted more of him. And that's what they're doing. This show is not just, you know, it takes place in the high school the Goldbergs takes place in, but it's going to focus on Tim Meadows, Brian Callen, and A.J. Michalka's character, Lainey, who was a series regular in season 3 and 4, but since sporadic in this season, and she's coming back as a teacher. I think there's a lot to mine there. I think they've got a great cast already started. They already have, you know, the school set up. And the most intriguing thing is I read an interview from the director where he was like, most school place comedy shows you watch basically show how, like, the teachers have just an utter disdain for the kids and just, like, don't want to be teachers. And what they want to do is the different of make these teachers, like, actually enjoy being teachers, enjoy being around the kids, and a little more optimistic version of it, which I think, after watching The Goldbergs, I think could be great. And I think, obviously, the way they mined the 80s was pretty entertaining. And if they can do the same thing with the 90s with that cast, I can't see it not being, you know, a success. They tried to do this last year. They pitched the pilot, ABC passed on it. So they did some rejiggering with the lineup, and I think it'll all be for the better. Like I said, I'm kind of excited to see it. I never thought I would say that, let's say, a month ago, but ever since watching the Goldbergs, I've kind of gotten into it, and I think it'll be a good one.
Legendary show. No question about that. A legendary show, my friend. We'll argue about that at a different time. We will table the picks to click for this week. We'll save that for next week, my friend. It is always a pleasure to have you on the show, Al. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds great, guys. Enjoy the weather. And hopefully, the Cavs, we can talk about a Cavs win next week. So I'll talk to you then.
All right, Al. Thank you. That's Al Harris, our Hollywood insider, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, sending some good weather vibes and some good Cavalier vibes as well.